some of that. Psalm chapter 1. Would you turn there? Psalm 1. This is a marriage weekend, and I'm preaching on marriage. And I tell you, I love marriage. I highly recommend it. I'm so thankful for my wife. We met in college. Let me put that right. We met in college, and so we've known each other for quite some time. And I tell you what, I love the Lord, and He's been so good to me in my marriage and my family, and I mean that. You know, if you've got a marriage, if you've got a wife, fellas, the Bible says you've obtained a favor from the Lord. Now, you thought it was your, you know, great looks and suave and coolness and all of that, but it was the Lord. Amen? It was the Lord. And He did. He did bless you with your spouse. We never need to forget that, how we're blessed to have one another. And that ideal of being blessed is what I'm going to major on today. Because I don't know about you, but I want a blessed marriage. I want one that has the blessing of the Lord. And if you're not careful, you'll let that word blessed get overused. You know, we use it all the time, right? You know, oh, the blessings of the Lord, or bless her heart. And sometimes we mean that in a negative way, like bless their heart, you know. And but we use that word blessed kind of overdone, you know, overrated, if you will. And if you're not careful, we forget, what does that really mean? Do we want the blessing of God on our marriages? Do we not want to go to a church where the blessings of God reside? I was reading the other day from a pastor that was talking about or writing about revival. And he says, we need churches that have the hand of God on them and are truly experiencing the blessings of God. We need not try to operate without the blessing of the Lord. And when I read that, I thought, wow, I had to back up a little bit and think, well, that's what I want. And we let that bless your heart and blessings on your brother and may God be with you and blessings upon you. We let that stuff go by as cliches. But I want to tell you something. It needs to be a purposeful pursuit that you are wanting and you want to experience and you want to see. And you dare not live without the blessings of the Lord. What are you going to do? Look at the world? Take your cues from them? Try to have what the family across the road's got? Get into the endless pursuit and the failings of the wasted time of materialism. Oh, listen, we want the blessings of the Lord. We know that's different. That's much more special. And it's something that this world knows nothing about. I tell you, we're going to find all about these blessings. You see right here in Psalm 1, look what the Bible says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That word blessed is a Hebrew word that has behind it a strong expression of happiness. I mean, strong expression of happiness. In fact, if you were to translate it in its really literal sense, it would be, oh, how happy is the man. Oh, how very happy is the man. I believe with all my heart, God wants you to be very happy. I believe He does. I believe He wants you to be happy. I believe He wants you to know that this is only possible if you go about it His way, with His blessing. You see, this is not just any blessing. This is the kind that comes from God. Oh, how very happy is the man. And I believe with all of my heart, we can take this and apply it to marriage. Oh, how blessed, or oh, how happy is the marriage that follows the Word of God, as we will see here in this chapter. I want to preach on this subject. Blessed is the marriage. Blessed is the marriage. I don't think I'm out of bounds or stretching it too much to take this passage and apply it to where you live, where you interact, and your relationship, especially that of your spouse. This is what God wants you to experience in your life, your journey. His grace is sufficient. His blessings are bountiful, and they can be yours if you'll draw upon His source and look to Him in these days and times. I believe God wants every marriage blessed. So blessed is a marriage. Here's what it requires. Let's look to God in prayer, shall we? Father, help me today be faithful to this blessed book and share how these blessings can be found in our marriages, the most important relationship on the face of the earth. And I'm asking God that you'll help our church, because I believe strong marriages make a strong church. And Lord, I know that's what you want to bless. You're all for it. You created it, instituted it. You made it all possible. Thank you for marriage. May, oh God, you help us to see what a blessed marriage looks like. In His holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Maybe you've heard about this, but did you hear about the angel that came to Adam right after he was created? And the angel of the Lord, you know, came to him, and it's before Eve was created, and said, we've got a proposition for you, Adam. Proposition. We're going to craft for you an individual. In fact, it's going to be like you, but different. Different. Adam's like, what do you mean, like me, different? What do you mean? Well, it's like this, Adam. It's going to be a she. We're going to make you a she. Well, he thought, what's a she? What do you mean by she? Well, it's like this, Adam. She will be yours. And when you come home from after a long, hard day in the garden, when you walk in, she will be there to greet you. In fact, she'll be standing there all beautiful. She's going to even smell nice. And when you walk in, she's going to stretch her arms just like this and take you in and pull you into herself. And there she'll give you a nice hug and a little peck on the cheek. And she's just going to welcome you home after a long, hard day in the garden. And not only that, she's going to bring you in and set you down and see to it that that your feet are up. And she'll even run and go get your slippers, you know. And she'll go get the paper. She'll bring the paper to you, and then she'll get behind you, and she'll begin to massage your shoulders and get you to relax after a long, hard day. And then after that, she's going to go into the other room and prepare you a wonderful meal. And there she'll prepare that meal, a dish like you've never had, and you're just going to enjoy it. And then after the meal, she's going to come and then sit down at your feet and look up at you and just stand and wait for whatever need you have. Boy, Adam heard that. He thought to himself, that sounds pretty good. Then he thought to himself and he asked the angel, what will that cost me? And the angel said, well, it's going to cost you your right arm and your leg. Adam said, wow. What can I get for a rib? Yeah. And so he got Eve. Amen. Oh, thank God for our spouses. I'm glad it didn't happen that way. Amen. God knew what we needed. And Eve became his helpmeet. And God has given us this wonderful thing called marriage. I don't know about you, but I want a blessed marriage. And marriages are not without problems. And that's why we're seeking God's word. We need help. We need to get back to the manual that truly leads us to the right way to have the marriage God intended. Because marriages are like a garden. If you don't tend to it, there'll be weeds. You have to stay on top of it. And a sense of attention and carefulness is something you don't take for granted. Well, it's there. No, it's, you know, I remember my first house I bought. We had a front area where there was some shrubs and there was some mulch and very nice, but it was just kind of plain, but it was there. And, every once in a while I had to get in there and pull weeds. We had that crab grass, you know, everywhere, and you had to work on that. And then I look across the road and there was this neighbor who'd been there a few years longer than us, and their front yard was beautiful. I mean, flowers. They even put a little waterfall thing. You know, water comes bubbling out of it, runs down little rocks, and had all these gorgeous flowers around it. And then I figured out the secret. Every morning, the lady of the house, she would go out there and she would be digging around, scratching and pulling weeds and working it. And I got thinking, well, that's interesting. But the next morning, she's there again. Next morning, there she is again. I go to work, there she is in the work. I thought, okay, oh, that makes sense. But there's, wow, you know, wow. Why? She was tending the garden. And marriages can't be just there. You've got to tend to it. You've got to put something in it. You've got to spend some time on it. And I'm glad your pastor is taking this time, you know, in a sense, putting on the brakes and saying, let's think a little bit about our marriages. Because as I said in my prayer, a church is only as strong as its marriages. Your marriage starts having trouble, it starts filtering through the church. It starts becoming the talk in the nursery. It becomes, have you heard what he's done next? I'm getting to where I just don't need a man, you know. And that stuff starts getting out, you know, into the congregation. Next thing you know, it begins to what? Deteriorate the church. But oh, if you've got marriages that are what they're supposed to be, we tend them. We make sure they're right before God. We make sure we're experiencing the blessed marriage. That's what God wants. And I want you to look here, if you would, please, at Psalm chapter 1. He gives us the keys to the blessed life. And I begin with this one. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man, or I would say blessed is the marriage, that walketh not. Number 1, a blessed marriage is one that minds their steps. They have to mind their steps. In fact, the steps they have to mind, they have to be careful with, is the matter of ungodly influences, ungodly voices, people who look down on the things of God and think that the world has it all figured out. You have to mind your steps. You have to mind your steps. You know, we're really quick in these youth rallies to preach to young people about peer pressure and about who you're hanging around and what you're listening to and what you're doing when you're all by yourself. I want to say to the marriages, it matters what you do, who you're listening to, the influences you let come into your life, the people that you let tell you their opinion. It matters for your marriage. You better tend, you better mind how you're walking. Amen. You better. It's interesting. Psalm tells us here of how he walks. And then he tells us how he stands. And then how he sits. It's a progression. Now, the progression for the child of God, no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been saved, there has to be a positive progression in your life. Remember Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18? But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. If you're a child of God, you know what that really is telling you? Your journey with Jesus just gets better and better as the days go by. Even when your body begins to break down, even though people may walk away, even though life throws every uncertainty and every curveball at you, because you know Jesus and He's journeying with you step by step, hand in hand, I'm telling you, it does not matter the storms. He's there. He'll not fail you or forget you. Never will he ever walk away from you. The journey can get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And they do. You can get all the way to the end of the journey, no matter how tragic, no matter if cancer becomes part of the journey, you can still know that Jesus is with you. And there is a joy that's not found in this world. It's the peace that God promised. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. My peace I give unto thee, not as the world giveth. Give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Folks, I got good news for you. It's only going to get gooder and gooder. Amen. It really is. Oh, you read the news and watch the news. Even Fox, bless your heart. It's not getting good out there. It's getting worse. But I'm so glad for the child of God. Our path is brighter and brighter. And so should be your marriage. But the warning is, be careful where you walk. Mind your steps. Be careful where you decide to stand. And be careful where you sit. In other words, it's like this. If I use this as an illustration, this chair right here, this is how marriages are supposed to do. If this is an ungodly influence, all right, your job is to mind your steps. You don't bring yourselves within view. You're not to bring yourselves within arm's reach. The Bible here says what happens is it starts out by walking. Just walk. I'm not doing anything. I'm just walking by. But we're curious. We want to see it again, so we find ourselves walking in that direction, right? Then the Bible says, walketh what? Then he says, nor standeth. That means now we've walked by, now we've stopped and said, what about that? No kidding. Everybody else is doing it. Well, what about that? And so we find ourselves stopping in the process. But then it's a progression. I call it the progression of every failure. You first walk by it, and then you stop. But then you just have yourself a set down spell. Next thing you know, what was supposed to be just walking on by, now you have found yourself not only there, but you're comfortable now. And that's the progression of every failure you find yourself into. It becomes something that you didn't intend for this, but this is where I am now. This is what I've got to face. This is what I've, you know, so many times people will come back to the Lord and they brought all the messes with them. And I'm glad you can go to church and find the grace of God to clean you out of any mess that you have. But many times the messes are because we found it comfortable to sit down where we should have never been to begin with. You think of Lot and Abraham. You ever thought about those two? They were kin. They were pretty much the same. If you read Genesis chapter 13, you'll find a lot about Lot. You know what Lot was? Lot was just as blessed as Abraham. I got to look it into that. And sure enough, in fact, I'm going to turn there just to read this statement to you. At Genesis chapter 13, I believe it's 13. No, actually, yes, chapter 13. And in this passage, you'll find here where Lot is introduced to us. Abraham, of course, is called to go into a land and journey following the Lord. He made an altar, but look at verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. He's telling us about Lot's success, right? And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together for their, what's this now? Their substance was great. You know, Lot was a success. Lot was just like Abraham. Lot was blessed. He had all these herds. There's not a bit of difference between Lot and Abraham. Until one day, when Abraham and Lot figured out we've got to separate because there's not enough room for us. He told Lot, you pick where you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction, and we'll split our herds because there was strife among them. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Well, water plains of Jordan. What about that? Next thing you know, he's seated at the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's got evidently influence there now. Everybody knows Lot. And Lot's kind of found his place and his niche. And you read on about Lot's life. You know what happened? Lot, can I say it this way? Lost everything. He lost his marriage. He lost his wife. Lot lost his daughters, even the ones that went with him. The others stayed back with their husbands and perished in the brimstone and fire. But it was the two that we went to. They fell off into sin and in just a wreck of a life. Lot lost everything. It all began not because one day he slipped and fell. No, it's because he was just journeying and he got curious and he decided he would just set a spell. I'm telling you, friend, it matters where you dwell. You better mind your steps. The devil wants to ruin your marriage and ruin your life. And blessed marriages are those who mind their steps. They mind their steps. Number two, blessed marriages meditate on Scripture. Notice what the Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, the word meditation means he has, like you're doing with this conference, you put the brakes on, and you just said, we're going to concentrate a little bit on marriage and on family. You've got to slow down and take in the Word of God. You can't just read it and pass by it. You ever talk to somebody And you can tell they're not interested. Now, they're there and they're looking at you, right? But they're not looking at you. In fact, they're just kind of looking over your head. In fact, I've seen people when they talk to them, they kind of look past me. Hello, I'm here. You know, that's what I want to say to them, right? Or they do this one. I think to myself, why am I boring them, you know? And so I got to wrap this thing up. And sometimes I just go ahead and close. I don't say anything, but I just close up the conversation and let them talk because they're not interested. And you just feel like I'm done here because evidently you're done, you know? And you got to be careful in that. In fact, I'll say this, the cell phones, that's the new one. When you're on a cell phone, it's interesting how people put you on the speakerphone, right? They put you on the speaker and they're just, oh yeah, that's right. They're just doing everything, you know. You're talking and they're even eating, you know. Yeah. Excuse me. Yes, sir, I see that. Yeah, I understand. When I hear that rustling, I want to close up the conversation. You say you're offended? Yeah, I'm mad. That's what I am. No. But sometimes I'll say to people, look, I think you're busy. I'll call you back. Because I can hear it going on and on and on. When they're not interested, I need to wrap it up, right? One time someone called me and I was in the middle of everything and I couldn't stop. So I said to the person, I said, look, I'm going to be getting out of the car and I've got to make my way in, but you go ahead and talk and I'll listen, but I want you to know. You know the reason I told them that? I didn't want them to think I didn't have time for them. It was just when they called me, I was in a pinch, but I wanted them to know about it. I wonder how many times God feels the same way when you read your Bible. Okay, dear Lord, bless this passage to my Bible, to my life, amen. And you walk off. God has something to say for us. He needs to warn you. He needs to encourage you. He needs to speak life to you. You don't have life. Look, the Bible is God's word. It's a bread to the soul. Your soul will dry up if it doesn't get bread and the water of the word. Marriages that take the time to look at God's word, and I mean take the time to really read the word of God. You know, the word of God's like a compass to the soul. A compass doesn't, you can have a compass, but it doesn't do you any good unless you read it and follow it. Oh, I wonder what we're missing because we're not following the Lord. I wonder what we're missing. I wonder what God had in store if we had just followed Him. Many times when I preach, you know, God will put something on my heart and say, preach that. And I don't, you know, I don't have it all together. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I don't know. But if I'll just obey God, I found that He always blesses that. Faith is what God honors. Why? Because faith says, Lord, I need you. And when you spend time in this blessed book, you're not just being a good Christian doing your part. You're saying to God, Lord, I need to hear from you. You come to church with that same idea and same hunger. Lord, I need to hear a word from the Lord. Don't get up there and entertain us. Tell us something from this blessed book. Why? Because that's what will change your life. That's what will convert your children. That's what will help your marriages. It's this blessed old holy book of God. We need to get back to just following the Lord again. Listening to Him. Not having it all figured out. But a humility. Lord, I'll be better off if I follow You. I'll be much better off if I just follow You. I was reminded of that, of a story that I heard not long ago. In fact, I think David Jeremiah had maybe mentioned it, but this, a new name in all my understanding of you know, church history, I hadn't found this name until just recently. It's an old Quaker preacher that preached the gospel. And there are those that do preach the gospel straight and through, and he's an example of that. Back in the 1700s, 1773 to 1855, he lived, and his name was Stephen Grillet, an old Quaker missionary that was from Europe and came to America in the pioneering days. And he would travel horseback like they used to do, the circuit riders. And in 1796, he began to make his trail from Philadelphia down to the Carolinas. And he would preach to the Appalachian people. The mountaineers, they'd call it. Amen. Mountaineers? Okay, good. He'd preach to them, and he writes about in his journals, you can read how that, and I learned this, how that there were so many dangers he'd faced in those journeys, you know. We watched a movie about all these things, like Sheffy, and think, oh, that's fun. But they went through a lot of hardships. He suffered. He talked about the fear of rattlesnakes, wolves. He had to contend with those. Even hunger. Didn't have anything to eat at times. And storms that would come along. But he led a lot of these mountaineers, even slaves, to the Lord during that time. One day, the Holy Ghost of God, while he was in America, while he was in our country, he was led of the Lord to go to the lumber camps, lumberjacks, where they would work and move trees and pull them out and all. And he just felt, I got to go there. God really compelled him. The Holy Spirit compelled him to go because he knew their reputation. They were known to be drunkards and really men of debauchery. And so he went being, he felt led of the Holy Spirit only to travel all the distance and get there to that lumber camp. And nobody was there. It had been deserted. There was a mess hall there. There was a few things, some tools laying around, but they were gone. Evidently, the men, he figured, had moved deeper into the woods and were no longer there. But he thought to himself, well, I know the Lord led me here, but there's no one here to be found. So he thought, man, a trip wasted. A trip wasted. But here's what he said. He said to himself, you know, if God did lead me, I need not disobey. So I'm just going to obey the Lord anyway. And I like that. And that's what he did. He began to just right there, open air, there next to the mess hall. I think he was even inside the mess hall. He was in there and he just began to preach. And he preached a gospel message, how men and women need to come to Christ. And he preached the death, burial, and resurrection, and even gave an invitation. He said, all who will come, come and receive the Lord Jesus. And would you bow your head and pray the sinner's prayer? And he preached that and got done, opened up his Bible and said, oh, well, Lord, I did what you wanted me to do. This makes no sense. And he left. Went on his way. I think it was 6 years later. He's back in Europe. In fact, he's traveling on the London. He's on the London Bridge. Walking. And while he was walking, a man comes up behind him and says, finally, I have found you. I've been looking for you for years. I said, man, look at him. This missionary looked at him and said, I'm sorry, we've never met. I don't know you. Because, no. You don't understand. I heard you preach that day. The man scratched his head and said, what do you mean? He said, I forgot a saw. And I had to go back into the lumber camp to get that saw. And there you were in the mess hall preaching away. And I could see you through the cracks of the logs, who you were and what you were doing. He said, I want you to know that behind that old wood pile, I fell under conviction. I heard what you said. And I couldn't get away from it. He said, later on, I found myself a Bible. And I got down on my knees and I called on Christ to save my soul. He said, I got to tell you something else. Not only that, he said that Lord began to work in that camp. He said, five of us all got saved and all five of us were called to preach, to take the gospel to the world. We have been preaching the gospel these many years now because of what you did there in that mess hall. And that preacher just couldn't believe it. I believe with all of my heart when we get to heaven, because of your faithfulness, because you obeyed God, even because it didn't make sense, but you just stayed in there and did what God wanted you to do, I believe we're going to see blessings abound. I believe awards are going to give out. I believe with all of my heart we're going to see the whole picture. It's just right now we don't see the whole picture. But God does see the picture. All we have to do is keep our eyes on Him and obey the Lord. And marriages are blessed. Don't take their cues from the world. They don't follow the trends necessarily in this old world. They find their cues. They find their commands. They find their direction given to them in their life from the blessed Word of God. By faith, let's get back in our Bibles. By faith, let's say, Lord, speak to me. Don't come to church to see what the preacher's got. Come to church to see what God's got. And let Him speak to you. Come with a cup empty and say, Lord, fill my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Take this cup of mine and Lord, please bless again. You know, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Marriages that are blessed are those that mind their steps. And those that meditate on the Word of God, the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the world filled with chatter, voices, trends, a world, Lord, where there's a lot of confusion and very much uncertainty. I'm glad there is a truth. I'm glad there is a heavenly compass that can guide us, our marriages, help us in the way. And Lord, I pray we will say, Lord, as for me and my house, we want you to bless. We want you, God, to guide. Lord, we'll mind our steps. We'll meditate on the scriptures. Help us, O Lord, in these days. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.